So the reading is taken from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 18, and you can find that on page 1035 in your pew Bibles. That's Luke chapter 7, and beginning at verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children."
I wish God would just come and sort out all this mess. Have you ever thought that? Perhaps you've thought it about the mess in your personal life, the unfair situation at work, the difficulties in your marriage, the issues with your children. Why can't God just do something, something I actually need him to do? Perhaps you've thought it about the mess in our nation, the political strife, the disintegration of morality in society, the increasing exclusion of Christianity in the public sphere. God, when are things going to change? It seems to be getting worse. Perhaps you've thought it about the mess in our world. Racism, terrorism, egotistical world leaders, war. Are you ever tempted to ask what difference Jesus' coming really made in today's world? Have you, like me, even doubted that Jesus is really the one that he claimed to be? If so, you're not the only one. And in Luke 7 this morning, we meet an unexpected doubter in the form of John the Baptist. There are three things we're going to take away today. This is the first. Don't miss who Jesus really is. Now, John the Baptist pops up in verse 18, but if we'd been reading through the whole of Luke's gospel to this point, we won't have seen much of him over the last few chapters. He was there lots at the beginning. John's birth, for example, is foretold in chapter 1, where we hear this. John will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was a great Old Testament prophet, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's exactly what John did. John lived a strange existence in the wilderness. He dressed funnily and ate funny things, but he consistently and publicly preached a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the Lord's arrival. And it was strong stuff. John spoke about an axe that was going to be laid at the foot of the trees and a winnowing fork who the Messiah would bring in his hands to clear the threshing floor and burn up the chaff. In other words, he'd bring a sharp separation between people like a harvester who prepares the wheat but destroys the chaff. Repentance, therefore, was urgently needed. John was even so bold to demand repentance of the leading figures at the time, like the tetrarch, Herod. Herod had done many evil things, including marry his brother's wife, and John demanded that he repent. And so John was locked up. But that didn't deter him. You see, John knew his role. His role was to prepare the way and then get out of the way for the Messiah. However, at this point, in chapter 7, time had passed. And John is still in prison. He's waiting. He's wondering. He'd heard that Jesus had been doing and saying many things through his visiting friends. Most recently, he heard about Jesus healing a centurion's servant. He'd heard about Jesus stopping a funeral procession to raise a widow's son. But he didn't understand, because it wasn't quite what John expected. You see, John was preaching about fire and judgment in preparation of the Messiah's arrival. He'd expected Jesus to come quickly and to sort out all the mess. But where's the axe? Where's the winnowing fork? What is Jesus doing out there? He doesn't seem to be making the dramatic impact that John anticipated. And so he sends his friends out to ask the question. Verse 19, he sent them to the Lord, that's Jesus, to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? In other words, are you the promised one or not? John is puzzled. And he wants confirmation about who Jesus is and what he's doing. And so his disciples go and they ask Jesus the question. I love how they do it. You can imagine the scene. You know, they kind of arrive. Excuse me, Jesus, you look busy and everything, but we were wondering, well, not us, John the Baptist has sent us. We're just the messengers. We were wondering, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus doesn't answer directly. He doesn't need to. He lets his ministry do the talking. Verse 21. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus is so gracious. He could have just rebuked John and his disciples, telling them not to ask such stupid questions. Instead, he gently points out to John that he should have seen and heard the signs. You see, Jesus was doing things that only God can do, and he was meeting needs that only God can meet. And not only this, in his work, Jesus was fulfilling ancient prophecies about a promised age of salvation. See, Jesus doesn't need to announce salvation like any old prophet, like John, who came announcing that a Messiah would come to sort everything out. Jesus actually brings it into being. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. Those miracles demonstrate who he is and what he came to do. They testify that he is the Messiah. So the answer to John's question is, yes, Jesus is the one. He is the promised Messiah. But we still often feel like John felt, don't we? When we glance around today and it doesn't look like Jesus is the Messiah, when the church is in a mess, when our nation is divided, when crowds of tourists are targeted by men in vans in Barcelona, we think to ourselves, did Jesus really come and do something? Is he really the Messiah? If so, why won't he just sort everything out now? And if we're doubting him, perhaps we need to hear the gracious and gentle words Jesus gives to John and his disciples in verse 23. He says, blessed. Blessed is the man, blessed is anyone who does not fall away on account of me. You see, Jesus didn't come in the way that John expected. He didn't come as a military commander wiping the floor with his enemies, but that doesn't make him any less the Messiah. Jesus' ministry took a very different shape. His ministry of driving out evil and healing diseases and proclaiming the good news to the poor ushered in a new age of salvation.